And Johnson dribbling the clock away. Murray State, the 12 seed in the West, wins in convincing fashion over the 5 seed Marquette, 83-64, behind a performance for the ages from sophomore Ja Morant at a triple-double.
Ja Morant was fantastic as a sophomore, and they're talking about him. They have been for a while. He's probably the best player in America that you don't know a lot about. And he had the national stage yesterday. He's highly sought out by the NBA, probably a top five pick, and he didn't hurt that draft stock yesterday. In his performance, Murray State with the biggest upset of the day, which some people aren't surprised by that. Murray State the 12 over Marquette the 5. Marquette came into the tournament limping in, not playing well the last few weeks after being really good earlier in the year. And so Murray State wins a 12 over a 5, which almost happens every single year in the NCAA tournament. So, how's everybody's bracket doing? So, at my house, we had the kids fill out a bracket, or we helped them fill it out. And I have my 5-year-old, my 12-year-old, they have a bracket. And my wife has a bracket, and I have a bracket. And what typically happens in my household is my wife usually wins this contest, and she knows nothing. And she'll be the first to tell you she knows nothing about these teams. Nothing. Other than maybe Kansas and Kansas State. That's it. So after day one, I'm tallying up the wins and, you know, how many did she miss and this and that. 13-3. That's pretty good. I look at mine. Oh, boy. I missed the first three games of that day. 10-6. I look at my 12-year-olds. He started out good, and he faltered at the end. 10-6. Look at my 5-year-olds. We'll start off great and had a couple upset picks that didn't turn out. 10-6. So it's a good day. Right now I'm tied with my 5- and 12-year-old in the bracket contest at 10-6 while my wife is running away with the Gerstner family competition at 13-3. But it was just day one. Day two can change everything. Had you gone chalk yesterday, had you filled out your bracket all chalk, you took the high seeds, you would have been 12-4. So had I gone chalk, I would have been two games better. How did you do day one?
I did 12-4. I didn't go chalk, but I did 12-4. Murray State would have been the one that would have replaced Louisville on the chalk thing for me. It was funny, though, because you talk about starting 0-3. I put all the things in the computer here. And so, like, after the first few games, I want to make sure that it's all tabulating right so it's not messed up. Mm-hmm. And so I refreshed it after the third game was over, and I'm like, I go through all these, and there's 1 point by something. I'm like, I don't think I saw weight on here yet.
Because I'm dead last.
Yeah. And then there's, like, all the things that I put enough.
I'm so bad I don't even show up in the contest, people.
I put enough entries in there to cover like 120, just, you know, I didn't, because I can't put in pick sheets after the deadline passes, so I put enough in there to cover, and then I like scroll through all those, and I'm like, oh yeah, oh, he didn't have any wins. I was like, I knew he didn't have the two with the Yale and the other upset pick that you had,
and New Mexico State.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I was like, oh yeah, he had Louisville too, and I'm like, oh yeah, that's why he's not showing up here toward the top or toward the other stuff, because he has 0 points.
I almost
like
tweeted,
did I forget to put his bracket in? Like,
I've been better off. I almost tweeted and put on Facebook yesterday, but I didn't really have access to it very well. As that, this went through my head. The tournament's an hour and a half old, and I'm already, my bracket's over because I had Louisville, Minnesota was winning that game, and then I had Yale upsetting LSU, and LSU was up 14. That game got interesting. And on top of that, our NCAA players draft, I picked a guy from Yale that I really liked, and he had the worst game of his career with 5 points. And so, yeah, it wasn't a great start, but, you know, I kind of expected it. Every year it just seems to get worse for me. And, you know, somebody said, well, you're just so smart, you overthink it. I said, yeah, that's what I'm going to go with. That's what I'm going to go with. That's my excuse. I'm too smart, and thus I miss these games. Listen, I didn't overanalyze my bracket hardly at all, filling it out. The last few years I haven't, and I've had a mixed results. There are years where I really, really looked at it hard and overanalyzed and did no better than I do when I hurry
those
up and
are the
fill
years
it out.
I do the absolute worst. Yeah. I think I've only done that like once or twice, honestly. I usually on Sunday just fill it out and roll with it.
Right. You overthink it. What I should do is just wait and fill it out a minute before the tournament starts, because then maybe I give myself a little bit more time. Like, I would have changed my Syracuse pick. And I thought about doing that yesterday, and I still could have, but I didn't. And they lost last night to Baylor. So. But, you know, if you want expert advice when it comes to the NCAA tournament and your picks, you need to keep listening here, because we are providing valuable information four-year contest or if you're picking round by round. And here's why. Here's why our information is so valuable to our listeners out there when it comes into the NCAA tournament, or at least mine. Dusty, whatever. My information is very valuable, more important than anybody here at the radio station, which is just me and Dusty, so I'm saying my information is more valuable than Dusty. And the reason being is that it really paints a clear picture that go the opposite of what
pick
I pick.
The opposite.
Okay? So if I say Kansas, you know, I think they're going to win, but boy, I really think they got a chance to be upset. I'm still going to pick Kansas, but they don't blow anybody out. They ain't going to win by 20 or more. You just might as well go to Vegas and take Kansas plus 20 because Kansas just they won by 34. I've also said there's no way Kansas is going to beat North Carolina. No way. Jose, don't care where the game's at. People are going to come back on me, Jayhawk fans, are going to say, when Carolina loses to Kansas and Kansas City, of course, then everybody is going to freak out and say, see, we told you, Kansas City's unfair advantage. Yeah, you know what? I hope I am wrong. I hope I am wrong. I think it'd be great if Kansas went to the Elite Eight or the Final Four, and Kentucky now with an injury that could impact them, which will mess up some people's brackets possibly, and that helps things for Carolina. But suddenly Kansas, and then get by Auburn, then they get Carolina and Kansas City. You would think they get Carolina. And then they might not have to play Kentucky. And if they do, one of their best players might not be 100% or even play. So things are starting to look up for Kansas. But let's not jump to conclusions here. They beat a Northeastern team that, quite frankly, didn't play very well. I mean, I thought they just quit.
Yeah, I was watching that second half. And they started 5-0, got within 7, and then
Bill,
KU went on
Bill
a
called a timeout, and Grimes hit his only 3, and next thing you know, up double digits, and it's just like they folded.
Exactly. They were just like, oh, I don't want to be here anymore. Let's go home.
Yeah. Pretty exciting stuff. Kansas winning by in a nail-biter.
The Kansas fans come to their feet. The final seconds fade away, and Kansas wins it. 87-53. The Jayhawks overwhelm the Northeastern Huskies. It's 13 straight years of first-round success for Kansas, the longest active run in college basketball. It was a bulldozing in Salt Lake City.
Isn't that interesting? Because I think a lot of KU fans wouldn't even know that they won 13 straight first-round games. We're talking almost a decade and a half. You know, Kansas fans focus on the bitter disappointment of losing Elite Eight to Oregon in Kansas City, blowing a big lead against Michigan and not getting out of the Sweet 16, you know, losing to Villanova, and Villanova made 18 threes or whatever it was. And there's still Kansas fans that are stuck on freaking out every year about a first-round matchup. Well, remember what happened when we lost to Bradley and Bucknell? That was 13, 14, 15 years ago. I mean, I didn't even realize it. I did not know that Kansas had won 13 consecutive first-round games. Now, it helps when you're a 1-2 almost every year, but they've avoided that. But they have also been upset in the second round. I mean, the VCU game in the Elite Eight. I mean, they make it Elite Eight, but they get upset then to an 11 seed. Of course, Northern Iowa, they lost that. Second round of the tournament, they were a number one overall seed. So while they do win those first-round games, it's somewhat misleading because they get upset many years.
Stanford, you know, like I know Embiid wasn't playing in that game, but that was still a game they probably should have won.
Yeah, that was a two versus a ten. Yeah, but Wiggins wasn't trying hard, and Embiid was hurt, and Connor Francamp actually allowed them to have a chance at the end of that game. But yeah, that's right. Now, if you sit and go, Kansas hasn't won 13 straight second round games. I know that. But it is interesting. They have won 13 first-round games. Here's Bill Self yesterday. It's the second biggest win in the tournament for Bill Self. The other was UC Davis so many years back, a few years ago. And here's Self's thoughts on the win over Northeastern, 87-53.
I thought we came in the game with a great mindset, and I thought we performed pretty well for the most part for 40 minutes, defensively especially. I thought our ball screen and defense and our switching was better and eliminated them getting a lot of uncontested looks, which they can really shoot the ball. So, you know, all it is one game, but certainly, you know, sets up a game in which we have to be as athletic and as in tune as we've been all year playing Auburn.
Dedrick Lawson, 25 points, 11 rebounds, 9 of 16 from the floor. It was a mismatch inside. He's just too quick and too skilled for the guys of Northeastern. And Self talks about Dedrick's performance yesterday.
Dedrick can play. I thought he was, I don't know how you guys felt. It seemed like to me he was more bouncy and lively today. you know, he seemed more aggressive. Of course, he made a couple of shots in the first half, a couple of threes that you know, everybody thinks you're playing well when the ball goes in from deep. But I thought he was much more assertive. And even when he drove the ball, he drove even to pass it even. He seemed like he's quicker. And you know, it's been a long season for him. But maybe these past few days getting his legs underneath him a little bit may have helped, because playing three games in 3 days is tough for him.
How big of a blowout was this game? This is a first-round NCAA tournament game, and I had an appointment I had to attend in Salina. I was headed back. I was listening to the game on the radio, and with about 4 minutes to go, Brian Haney and Greg Gurley started talking about how Greg Gurley met Russell Wilson and his wife, Sierra, there in Salt Lake City, and talking about Russell Wilson's attire.
I want to tell you about this guy's stats at the free throw line, but instead... Yeah. Greg, who'd you meet last night?
It was funny, actually. I liked it.
I did, too.
Because, you know, it's like, what's the point of going super hard on the play-by-play when you're up 30-some points? So, Dedrick Lawson, a big game. Devon Dotson played well. Minor tweak of the ankle, which was scary at the moment. 18 points, 6-12 from the floor. And Kansas gets the W. And Dedrick Lawson talked after the game about how they handled Northeastern and their three-point shooting. And, of course, looking ahead to Auburn.
It was a couple of times in the first half where those guys got open looks. And I think we break down their film and just see what we did wrong, and we better guard it tomorrow with the way that Auburn plays and get out there and contest those shots. We have a good chance to win.
Kansas rolls. They're in the final 15 minutes, and they move on to the second round, and they'll take on Auburn. And Kansas yesterday was plus 18 rebounding. They only had 12 turnovers. Baji, 5 of 5 from the floor, which is a good sign. He's been struggling. Marcus Garrett gave him a nice spark. Dedrick Lawson was fantastic, as we mentioned. Dotson's been solid. You know, if Grimes ever puts together a couple of good games back-to-back offensively, this Kansas team then can beat the likes of North Carolina or Kentucky. But until that happens, I'm just not seeing it. So the Jayhawks get the win. They take care of business and move on to take on Auburn. We'll talk about that matchup here in a moment. Other scores from yesterday. It was a great start for me, as the first three games I picked were all wrong. Minnesota over Louisville. It was LSU knocking off Yale. Auburn over New Mexico State. What a wild finish to that game. New Mexico State fouled on a three-point shot after a guy gave up a layup to tie the game. Kicked it out for three. Guy gets fouled, and then he misses two out of three free throws. If he just makes two out of three, would have tied the game. Instead, he misses two out of three. The ball's out of bounds. New Mexico State gets it back, gets a wide-open three in the corner, and airballs it. Auburn did everything they needed to do to lose, but still won. And everybody's freaking out about Auburn. I mean, I'm before the bracket, like, oh, God, you know, Auburn's a buzzsaw. I don't know if Kansas can beat Auburn. I'm like, Kansas can beat Auburn. I mean, Auburn lives and dies by the three. Auburn's not, I mean, they're a five seed in their own tournament.
Yeah.
And they got breaks to win the tournament, a couple of big breaks. Are they good? Yeah. Are they invincible? No. And I think Kansas can beat Auburn, although in my bracket I had them losing to Mexico State. So odds are that means they're going to win the second-round game now, because I have them losing the second round, which I'm fine with. So Auburn wins. Florida State, Vermont was 16-32 from three and lost. That you just don't see.
No.
Florida State won that one. Michigan State won by 11. That game much closer than the final score indicates. Michigan State was in some trouble. Maryland beats Belmont. The sexy Cinderella pick Belmont, they lose after they had a nice lead there in the second half. That hurt Dusty's bracket and his draft status for the players.
Yeah, I got 40 points from the dude, so I'm okay with that. But yeah, I wanted that sweet 16-11 seed that I picked to roll through.
KU over Northeastern, as we said. Murray State rolls Marquette 83-64. Florida beats Nevada. Nevada, just a disappointing ending of their year. They started 20-1 and finished 5-5. And they had all this experience. Kentucky just absolutely whitewashes Abilene Christian. Villanova gets by St. Mary's. Gonzaga, no problem, Fairleigh Dickinson. Michigan rolls over Montana. Wofford looked real good. I told you, don't believe in Seton Hall. I tried to tell people, Seton Hall always disappoints in the tournament.
I'm never picking them again. I'm going to tell you that right
that's
now.
That's what I decided after last year. Wofford rolls. Purdue wins. And late last night, Baylor beat Syracuse. Baylor made, I think, 14, 15 threes in their game against the Syracuse zone. Syracuse is that one of their best players due to a suspension, and it might have cost them their season. Baylor beat Syracuse 78-69. So here are the matchups. For today, it is it's Iowa against Cincinnati. That is at 11:15 on CBS. I've got Cincinnati in this one.
Same,
okay. Oklahoma, Mississippi, that's 11:40 on True TV. I've got Mississippi.
Ole Miss.
Okay. Wow, we're in agreement here. Northern Kentucky, Texas Tech, 12:30 on TNT today. I got Texas Tech.
Yeah, that's an easy pick for me, I thought.
Okay, we'll come back to K-State in a little bit. Tennessee, Colgate, that's at 1:45 today. I got Tennessee.
Yeah, Tennessee.
Gardner-Webb, Virginia, 2:10. Can Virginia lose to a 16 seed back-to-back years?
I feel bad for Gardner-Webb because I don't think that's going to go well for them after what happened last year.
I'll tell you what, the first 5 minutes are huge for Virginia. That's at 2:10 on True TV. You know a lot of people be looking in on that game.
Yeah.
Arizona State against Buffalo at 3 o'clock on TNT. I've got Buffalo.
The same.
Oregon, Wisconsin, that's on TBS at 3:30 today. I've got Wisconsin.
Wisconsin.
Washington, Utah State, TNT at 5:50 tonight. I've got Utah State.
I have Washington. We're finally different on one.
All right. North Dakota State and Duke. Do we even need to pick that one? I got Duke. That's at CBS at 6:10. Georgia State, Houston on TBS at 6:20 tonight. I got Houston.
Houston.
Liberty, Mississippi State at 6:27 on True TV. I know a lot of people have been jumping on Liberty bandwagon. I'll stick with Mississippi State on that one.
That's who I have, too.
All right. So everybody listening, change yours to Liberty. Pick Liberty. Iona against North Carolina at 8:20 on TNT. That's a 1 versus 16. I think we'll agree that Carolina wins that.
Yeah.
Central Florida, VCU at 8:49 on CBS. I've got... I can't remember.
I think you picked UCF in that one.
Did I really?
I think so.
That doesn't seem to be smart. But I'm not doing well, so why would I care? I did pick UCF.
I picked VCU.
Okay. Ohio State, Iowa State. I've got Iowa State, although I tell you, I don't feel great about that one. That's an 8:50 tonight on TBS.
Yeah, I mean, Iowa State's another one of those teams.
They should win.
They're making threes. They're going to be really good.
I know.
That's who I've got.
St. Louis, Virginia Tech at 8:57. I got Virginia Tech in that one on True
TV. Virginia Tech, yep.
All right. Now, the schedule for Sunday, Kansas and Auburn are going to play late on Saturday. KU Auburn will be the last game of the day on Saturday, tomorrow, on TBS at 8:30. That is about as late as Kansas has ever played in the first weekend of the tournament. That's interesting. So that gives them more time to rest up and get ready, but then you wait all day long. That also bothers you sometimes. Sometimes coaches
I wouldn't want to
like
do
that.
That at all.
I'd rather play earlier in the day.
I'd like to play like 3 o'clock or something maybe in the NCAA tournament on Saturday.
You know, here's something I thought of, and I think we bring this up every year in the tournament. Everybody talks about, well, this is just unfair that this team's going to be lay here and this seed's lower seed. It's not fair Cincinnati's going to be playing Ohio when they're a 7 seed. Not fair if Kansas plays in Kansas City and they're a lower seed in North Carolina. Here's something I've never quite understood. Kansas is the better seed, right, than Auburn. So Kansas is a 4 seed, Auburn's a 5. Why isn't Kansas playing their game first yesterday? It's back-to-back games. Shouldn't a higher seed get the benefit of a couple extra hours of rest?
Yeah, but that's just not usually how they do it.
But why not?
I don't know. But, I mean, they did
it's not like they put KU in a big prime-time evening window.
Early, you know.
Yeah, but
that's
you know,
a one seed.
Yeah, they have Duke in the evening. That's about TV. I get that.
No,
part.
Yeah,
but putting
yeah.
Kansas at 3 or 1 isn't going to affect any ratings.
No,
you know what I'm saying.
All.
Now I get it. If Kansas is a top seed in the past and you put in prime time, I do understand why they do that. But I don't see why you didn't have.
No,
Kansas.
No, I'm thinking about. I think they just do the top of the bracket. No. I don't even know.
There's no consistency to
it. I was like, top of the bracket goes first, but I
looked at
Florida State played Vermont before Marquette.
There's no consistency to it. I don't get it.
4:13, they were early.
I don't understand how they do it. I mean, not that it's a major deal, but it's something I thought about.
Yeah.
So Auburn and Kansas, I don't know, man. I'm starting to get the this is the kiss of death. I'm starting to get the feeling Kansas is going to find a way to win this game. To me, it's simple. There's one simple stat to look at in this game, and that is Auburn's three-point shooting. And if Auburn makes 12 or more threes, and they're more than capable of doing that, they'll shoot 30 to 40 threes a game. And we know Kansas struggled against teams like that a little bit, although they beat Northeastern, but Auburn's much better than that. If Auburn makes 12 or more threes, I think Kansas is toast. If Auburn is under 12 threes, like if Auburn makes 9 or 10 threes, I think Kansas will still be okay. And then the other concern I have with Kansas against Auburn is Auburn has a lot more athleticism inside than Northeastern, obviously, and Kansas is not super athletic inside. Now this will be a game, too, where, you know, did David McCormick play much or not? And then Lawson has got to carry the burden of the minutes and go up against more physical or more athletic players. And Lawson's a guy that plays below the rim, and he struggled a little bit against some teams that are athletic that can wear him down. And you take away Kansas' number one threat, then you need Grimes and Dotson and Abaji to hit outside shots. And we know that that's up and down throughout the season. So I think on paper you could say Auburn certainly you could say is a slight favorite. I do think Kansas is going to find a way to keep it tight, And they very well could win this game. And I'm gonna pick Kansas to win this game, which means they're toast. But I'm going to pick Kansas to win this game, even though in my bracket I had them losing the second round in New Mexico State. But they're not playing New Mexico State. They're playing Auburn. So I've said all along, I think Auburn's a good team, but I think people have been drinking the Kool-Aid and getting all high and mighty because they had four good days in the SEC tournament. But they caught a huge break when the one seed got upset. They caught a break when Tennessee-Kentucky had an unbelievable game. The late game the day before the final, and then they had to play the final at noon the very next day, and Auburn waxed Tennessee. But if you can beat Tennessee by 18 or 20 points, and you can play with Kentucky, and Auburn's done that this year, then, yeah, they're absolutely a really good team. And I think talent-wise and athletic-wise, Auburn might be the better team. But I'll take Bill Self versus Bruce Pearl.
Yeah, I had KU making it to the Sweet 16, beating Auburn anyway in my bracket, so I'm going to stick with that for sure.
Stick with that? Mm-hmm. Okay. All right, now... Today, Kansas State is in action for the first time in the tournament, and they will take on UC Irvine. Here's Bruce Weber about the matchup today at 1 o'clock.
You just watch film. They're good. They got to be one of the best teams on the West Coast. I don't care what league it is. You know, they got size. They got guards. They got experience. They're older. It's a tough task for us. There's no doubt. But but we're pretty good, too. I mean, I don't – you know, we've not gotten any respect all year. I'm not sure why. Maybe it's me. I don't know. You know, this group has endured. It's, you know, to deal with all the things we've had to do. And then, I mean, the grind of playing everybody twice. And we were able to survive that. And, you know, it's pretty impressive, and I'm proud of them. And hopefully they, you know, we know that if we play the way we can, I think we can beat anybody in the country.
I agree. This...
You're going the same place I'm going, I'm pretty sure.
Yeah, this is why. Oh, gosh. Bruce Weber's a nice man.
That's why I left it in there.
I've met him. I've interviewed him. He is a very nice person. He is very nice. But it just comes across as whining.
Yeah.
He comes across as a whiner. And even if you're a Bruce Weber supporter, I mean, do you like continuously hearing about this, well, we're not getting respect, and why isn't Dean Wade an All-American? And respect, you were picked, you were 12th preseason poll. You were picked second in the Big 12 behind Kansas. It wasn't like, you want to talk about disrespect, Texas Tech was picked seventh.
Yeah.
And they want to share the title. I mean, is there disrespect because people are picking UC Irvine as a trendy upset pick? Okay, yeah. That could be, but he's saying, "Well, we've been not getting respect all year long." Yeah, I don't know where he's talking about.
That if he's just talking about UC Irvine, and that's just an extension on the respect you're not getting.
Yeah, I mean, he acts like this has been they've been disrespected all year long. I don't think they've been disrespected all year long at all. In fact, I know some national pundits that said they think K-State can make the Final Four. That was before the tournament came out and Dean Wade situation. But I mean, they've been getting love. I mean, are they getting the love that you know? Ones and two seeds are getting? No, but you're not a two seed.
No.
You're not a one seed. You're a four seed. Your non-con wasn't very good. You had a couple bad non-con losses, but you were really good when you had to be on the road, especially in the Big 12. Listen, I don't know where this is fabricated because to me, Kansas State has been respected. Have they been fawned over like Duke? Of course not. But they probably never will unless they're the number one seed.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly what Bruce Weber's wanting from everyone across the country. You want respect. Well, you went to Elite Eight. You got respect last year. You were preseason top 12 in the country by the national voters. You were picked as the runner-up to Kansas, the biggest contender to Kansas. Then you went out and proved that was legit by winning the Big 12. And now you're a four seed. And you want more respect, go earn it more. Go earn it by winning against UC Irvine today. Go out, make the Elite Eight again. And you earn that respect over time. And they did from their run last year in the tournament. And what they've done this year, K-State has earned respect across the country. Now, it might not be what Bruce Weber wants, where he wants people to fawn all over his program. And he can say, well, maybe it's because of me. I will say this. When you whine about it, sometimes that does cause people to say, you know what, I'm not going to give them all this glory because they keep whining about how they don't get it. There are people that think that way. So it irritates me because I think he's not doing K-State a disservice when he whines in those little ways here and there about that stuff. It's immaterial. Who cares? I mean, do it in the locker room. That's fine. Tell your kids. Every coach does it. Players do it. We're disrespected. We got the shaft. I get all that. But then you just keep whining to the media. You don't hear Bill Self or Chris Beard or Scott Prom or whatever his name is from Iowa State. Steve Prom, is that his name?
Steve Prom.
You don't hear who's another head coach in this league. I'll hear Lon Kruger whining about it.
I don't hear Scott Drew saying that.
I don't
kind
either.
Of stuff,
and they've been disrespected and made fun of, even by us, to be honest. I guess it kind of gets old, doesn't it? As a K-State fan, isn't that maybe part of the reason why not everybody's on board with Bruce Weber because of little things like that?
Yeah. The thing for me is, it's like, it was kind of like Julian Edelman with the Patriots, like, doubt us now or whatever, you know? Right. Like, who's actually doubting you?
Right.
And I get the same feeling from Bruce Weber on stuff like that. It's like, who's not respecting you? Like, where is this coming from? I don't get it. It's like I feel like he's trying to say these things in public to build some chip on K-State's shoulder that's not even really going to be there or ever should be there.
Well, I think it's there, but I don't think he needs to do it publicly.
Not like this. I'm talking
the players. Yeah. I think they all think, listen, nobody thinks we can win the Big 12. Well, you're picked second, so yeah. Somebody thinks you can.
Yeah.
But you play me against the world mentality, which I totally get in the locker room and the players, and they're going to build on this and say, listen, and I guarantee you KU used the same thing yesterday. There are people saying KU is vulnerable to being a first-round upset. KU used that as motivation.
Oh, sure, yeah.
But you do that, but you don't come out. I mean, just keep whining about it continuously about things here and there. I mean, this happened before the season even began. Bruce Weber was whining about Dean Wade should be an All-American.
Yeah.
He was picked as the preseason Big 12 Player of the Year, but somehow Dean Wade wasn't getting enough respect. I mean, this is before the season started. What's the motivational tactic behind that?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I think anybody within the locker room can find that thing that could put a chip
Absolutely.
On your shoulder. You know, the chip on their shoulder right now is because everybody, since Dean Wade's not playing, seems to be the trendy pick to pick UC Irvine to win this thing.
Right.
And then I can come back, well, Dean Wade didn't play last year either very
exactly.
much, 8 minutes in the tournament. So what makes you what rationale do you have to just automatically say because Dean Wade's not playing, they're going to lose this game.
Right.
And they're going to lose early in the tournament compared to last year. Mm-hmm. Because do they think that Dean Wade played last year? I think some of them do. I think some of them don't remember what actually happened the
sure.
year before. These national pundits that just go on and do this, they didn't care about K-State last year.
Nope.
K-State got lucky because they didn't have to play. This is their thought. You know, they didn't have to play a one seed, whatever. They got through there.
I will say this. K-State wasn't getting any respect from anybody until they beat Kentucky.
Exactly. And you know,
without
they got that respect at that point.
Basically.
Yeah. And so it's for me, it's like, I get all that, but I don't think this is the tactic to go about it if you're trying to motivate your team. You don't need to do that in public. And I'm sitting here like, I'm looking at it. I'm like, what kind of disrespect are they getting? They're the number four seed in their bracket. Did you want to be a three? I mean, that's the only thing I can think of. Maybe he wanted to be a three and play in Hartford, Connecticut.
Well,
instead of
he
San
might
Jose.
Be buying into the fan base.
Yeah.
And that is, well, we should have been in Kansas City as a four seed.
And that's got to be part of it, too.
Oh,
is that we're not getting respect because we should have been in Kansas City instead of Kansas.
Right.
And I'm like, well, that's fun in games, but I wouldn't want to be in KU's bracket compared to yours right now.
Virginia,
you know,
Tennessee.
Maybe a little bit different with Washington with the injury for Kentucky might
right.
water that down a little bit or whatever, but I still wouldn't want to be a part of that.
Yeah.
I mean, I think you're sitting better positioned here in a more open bracket in the South and going to Louisville. But
well,
I just really think, you know, the chip can be there on your shoulder,
right.
but you're adding something that's not there.
I think so.
Is what I'm saying.
I agree. And if it's a motivational tactic for the team, you can do that in the locker
yeah.
room. You don't have to do that out in the public with the
and
media.
I think this was his first opportunity to do it nationally, so he went back to it again.
I think so. I think you're right.
I think that's what it is.
I think it bugs him.
Because he hadn't done that locally for a while now.
Right. And I think it bugs him that listen, we won the Big 12. We're a four seed, and we don't have Dean Wade, but we made it to the Elite Eight without Dean Wade in essence last year, and we're being picked as an upset victim. And I get that part, but worry about your team. Don't worry about, I mean, whatever. If Bruce Weber has a chip on his shoulder, that makes him coach better, power to him. But this is something that Bruce Weber does from time to time that I don't know of any other coaches that do it. And that, I mean, let's think back. I mean, he sometimes it comes across as a sore loser when he whines about these things. I mean, obviously you don't like to lose to Kansas. And we know, you know, that there are calls you don't get at Lawrence and Allen Fieldhouse. We know about the horrible travel they missed to see Mikhailuk. I mean, even KU fans, Well, there's a few KU fans that somehow can't be objective enough
still
to understand
it.
That that was a travel, but whatever. I remember one near locally. Well, the officials have a tough job. I can see how they could miss that call. And yet he was then went into complaining about four other calls that went against Kansas. He complained about the officiating. How convenient is that? But, you know, remember Bruce Weber said, ask Fran Franchella? Remember that comment?
Yeah.
And that didn't go over well with a lot. Even K-State fans, that didn't really go over well. Then Fran Franchella was kind of put on the hot seat with that comment. It just sounds like we're always the victim. And when you play the always the victim card, eventually it wears thin and wears old. And I do think that a coach like that is not as endearing to his fan base as a coach that has supreme confidence or a lot of confidence or, you know, just flat out says things like, and I don't want to compare Bruce Weber to Bill Self because they're two different coaches, but, you know, Bill Self will just come out and say, we sucked. I mean, we played horrible. That was god-awful. That's the worst stretch of basketball we've ever played. You don't hear Bruce Weber usually saying that. Now, he did throw Barry Brown under the bus before. We know that. But it's just they're different. They're different coaches, and that's fine. And I don't think it's fair to compare the two, but you don't hear coaches that are really good making and whining about things as much as Bruce Weber. Am I wrong? It just seems like Bruce does it more often than other coaches.
Oh, yeah, I think you're right.
And
yeah.
I can't argue with the success. I mean, you know, Elite Eight last year, he's been to a national championship game in Illinois. Yeah, you can say it was Bill Self's players. He still had to coach him. And he's a four seed, and he got to share the Big 12 title. He got to share the Big 12 title back in, what was it, 13?
That was with Frank Martin's players. Now you can't use that excuse.
You can't, because it is his players. But all that said, it's worked for him, whatever he's been doing. But it's not as endearing, I don't think.
Yeah, well, and it's interesting you bring up the thing where...
You don't hear Bill Snyder ever have done that. He didn't do that.
No. It's interesting where you bring up the... where he called out Barry Brown, because now if you're looking at that and had a problem with that, you got to tell me what you want.
Right.
Like, as a fan, because yeah. I had absolutely no problem with what he said about Barry Brown.
That was, to me, a little bit refreshing.
It was. And for me, it was like I had absolutely no problem, because did he lie? Did he say anything wrong when he called out Barry? No, he didn't.
No.
And I think those are the kind of motivational tactics you can have if you're in press conference.
Right.
That's what Bill Self does that all
Bill
the time.
Bill Self's called
that's
out why, his players many times.
Listen, that's why he does what he does in press conferences, because he knows the kids are listening and knows what – oh, man, this dude just called me out publicly. I'm going to make him pay for that.
Absolutely.
Barry Brown, I think, has probably made him pay for that, mm-hmm. you know, over the course of his career. Like, this guy called me out publicly. I'm going to make sure I don't do anything like that again.
And it's worked out pretty well, wouldn't you say?
And, you know, it helps. But that was refreshing for me. I had no problem with that. I get tired of the whining. I get tired of, we didn't get respect. We didn't get this. The officials, ask Fran Franchella. The officials didn't call this right. The officials didn't do this. I don't want excuses in your press conference.
Yep.
I don't want to hear you talking about a dang play hard chart when you just lost a tough game to Kansas, okay? That's the worst time to be talking about the play hard chart. That's another thing that always drove me. And he hadn't done that much this year. I think he's kind of got the message that we don't care about no damn play hard chart. I'm going to say it like it is, okay?
Well, you're right. You're right. Like, congrats.
No, if we win by 20,
we lost by 18.
If we win by 20, you can tell me about the play hard chart all
you
want.
Right.
But, you know, those are the things that drive me nuts about Bruce Weber, is why I'm bringing that up. Because it's just all these things. And then when he brings out the thing about Barry Brown, he gets criticized for it. And I'm like, no, that's what I want.
Yeah.
I want more of that and less of this.
Right. No, I would agree with that.
But that's why I kept that in there this morning. I'm like, this guy's complaining again about not getting respect. Like, when is this going to stop?
Yeah.
When are you just going to be like, oh, we're the four seed. We won the Big 12. Who cares about what people think? Let's just go out and play.
Well,
that's what I don't get about, is you're in the tournament. Nobody cares about respect right now. Just go play and beat teams and you'll get it. That's the only thing you can say about it.
You know,
I don't care about respect right now. I made the tournament. I made the dance. Let's win.
And I don't know if there's a connection to this or not, but – you know, we've talked about it at length here recently, because there have been a lot of, and Missouri fans, of course, have been some of the loudest ones, and there's still a rivalry between Missouri and Kansas, even though they don't play each other and not in the same conference. But you heard it from a lot of K-State fans, so worried and so upset that Kansas is going to be playing in Kansas City. Those are their words, going to play in Kansas City, which if they lose to Auburn, they won't. And it was all this worry and this concern. And then if somebody says, well, you're worried about Big Brother, quit being like Little Brother, then K-State fans get annoyed by that. But it's like, well, you're actually helping that label when you complain about a team that's not even in your region. That's not even in your region, playing in Kansas City, possibly. You don't even know if they're going to play in Kansas City. And you're whining about how, well, we should have been there instead of Kansas, and that's your contention. Listen, I'm not going to say you don't have an argument. You do. I mean, Kansas State could have easily been a four seed, and they could have been in the Midwest region. That's true. Would you rather play Wisconsin or Auburn in the second round? Because I would rather play Wisconsin, personally. But having said that, there's this... It comes across, and KU fans use it against K-State fans, and K-State fans don't like it. But there is an element of truth to it. And you're a K-State fan. You and I talked about this the other day. If you don't want the little brother label, and K-State beat Kansas in the Big 12 race this year, they got to share the title. So little brother beat big brother. If you don't like hearing that, then K-State's got to do it more often. That would be part of it. And actually win in Lawrence from time to time, and that moniker may go away. But it won't go away if when KU makes a tournament, KU's talking about their matchups, their fans, and not worried about where K-State's at. But K-State fans are worried about where KU is and where they're playing instead of worrying about UC Irvine. It doesn't help you try to shake that label of the little brother thing when you're belly aching about, oh, Kansas, that's a bunch of crud. They're going to Kansas City, and we got the shaft, and we're all worried about Kansas, and it's unfair, and it's all about money, and the NCAA loves Kansas, which is a bunch of hogwash, and we know it if you're be objective about it. But, you know, is there a little bit of a connection there? Like, when you have Bruce Weber as a head coach for so many years, and you hear the whining here and there a little bit. Now, does that trickle down to the fan base to where now they are more worried about where Kansas is in a whole different region instead of their own team has the exact same seed taking on a potential team that can upset them?
Yeah, I mean, I think it all plays into what we're talking about. The thing, too, I think is that there's a history that dates even before K-State with Bruce Weber and Bill Self,
sure.
See, because of the whole funeral that he had when Bill Self was gone, you know.
You bet.
And all that adds into it for me, because there's a history there with Bruce Weber taking over for Bill Self's team at Illinois.
It's no secret Bruce Weber and Bill Self don't like
each other. Yeah, and all the stuff that happened in that deal. And so now you're going against each other in a head-to-head in-state rivalry here where, you know, we know that K-State fans are – more heated about it than KU typically in basketball, because KU's had a pretty good stranglehold.
Right.
KU fans are more heated about it in football than K-State is, because K-State's had a pretty good handle on the rivalry for quite some time.
Absolutely.
So, you know, all that gets added into it, but, you know, it is. It's that little brother thing, and I don't like it either. I don't like it when people say that, but don't act like
it. Don't get rid of it.
Don't act like it.
Yeah,
don't.
Exactly.
I don't. KU might play in Kansas City. Whoop-de-doo. We're playing in San Jose.
Yeah.
As a K-State fan, I say we. You know, and who cares about what's going on down there?
And by the
way, who cares that Northern Iowa beat Kansas? Because your team's still alive.
I think one of the contentions, I think Riley kind of brought it up the other day. And listen, I told him during the interview, I agreed with him that, that you could make an argument. You know, to me, you could make an argument that K-State or Kansas could be in Kansas City in the Midwest region, although I think neither one should be. I mean, honestly, I can't. You know, Brian Haney said it this week, yesterday on the show. Bill Self was shocked that Kansas was in the Midwest region, let alone going to be in Kansas City in the Sweet 16. Nobody thought it would happen. So everybody's surprised, and it isn't probably fair at all. And if you're North Carolina, you don't like it if that ends up being your matchup, and you got to go to Kansas City when you're a one seed taking on a four seed. But having said all that, what's lost in that whole being mad about Kansas possibly playing Kansas City is if you're trying to decide, if the tournament committee came down to, okay, it's between Kansas and Kansas State to be the four seed in the Midwest, and who are we going to seed higher? Because that's how they did it. The overall seed, K-State was the 15, KU was the 13. Okay, well, in the rankings almost all year long, Kansas was ahead of K-State, even though K-State won a share of the Big 12 title. At the very end, I think K-State was 20th, KU was 21st. But the committee, and this is where a lot of people, and I'm not trying to be critical, I mean, I'm just trying to point the facts out. You know, I keep hearing, and Riley brought it up the other day over and over about, well, K-State's they're the conference champion. That should mean something. And they got a share of the title and then this and that. And I'm like, you know what? It did mean something. It got you a four seed. Because if Kansas State doesn't get a share of the Big 12 title, I highly doubt they're a four seed. And Texas Tech a three seed. Okay, but here's the thing. When you're seeding, listen, Duke, if you're going to argue that K-State should be in Kansas City in the Midwest as a four instead of Kansas, where is the angst about Duke being the number one overall seed? You know where they finished in their conference this year? Third. Why is Duke the number one overall seed? Why aren't they the number three overall seed? Because they finished behind Virginia and North Carolina. I believe. I know they did North Carolina.
Yeah, Virginia was the one seed. North Carolina was the two.
Was a two, Duke right. Three, yeah, so Duke was a three seed in their own tournament. So if we're going to get – people get so caught up in this. So now you win a championship. So the first time in 15 years that Kansas doesn't win the Big 12. So now we think that that conference championship is worth more than it's ever been. It's not worth any more than any other year for anybody else in this tournament. It feels like it's worth more to K-State fans because – hey, we won a share of the title, and Kansas didn't share it. So it seems bigger, and it is bigger for Kansas State and Texas Tech, no question. But in the committee's eyes, it's not any bigger than anybody else winning any other conference championship.
No.
And it's also the body of work. I mean, if you really truly think that Kansas State should be seeded higher than Kansas in the tournament, okay, that's fine. You have a right to that opinion. But if you are in that selection room and you're taking the whole body of work, and by the way, if K-State swept Kansas, you'd have a much better argument. But you didn't. You split, okay? Kansas was two full games behind K-State in the Big 12 standings. Doesn't matter. Who the heck did K-State beat in the non-con? Vanderbilt? What was K-State's great win in the non-con?
I'm not saying anything for a reason.
Because they didn't have one. They lost at Tulsa, and they had everybody playing in that game, by the way. They lost at Texas A&M. Kansas doesn't have any bad non-conference losses. The only bad loss they had all year in regards to who they shouldn't have lost to was at West Virginia. They had bad losses. They lost by 30 at Tech. They lost bad at Oklahoma. We know that. They weren't good on the road, and that's true. That's part of the equation. But listen, this is not even, you know, it's just like automatically because you got a share of the Big 12 title, there are some K-State fans that just like that trumps everything. That trumps everything. We should be in Kansas City instead of Kansas because we won the Big 12 title. Well, then that means the non-conference schedule you're telling everybody didn't count. Okay, you're telling me that wins over Michigan State on a neutral floor, the first game of the year, in which Michigan State's a two seed that could have been a one seed, that's not worth anything? You're telling me Kansas beating Tennessee on a neutral floor? Tennessee was number one for like 4 weeks this year. You're telling me that doesn't mean anything? Kansas beat Villanova, who some people have in the Final Four. Kansas beat Villanova, that was at home, but no Udoka Azubuike in that game. And you're telling me that means nothing? I mean, let's look at Kansas beat Vermont by like 20 points. Vermont made the tournament. Kansas beat Wofford by 20. Wofford's a 7 seed in the second round of the tournament. Kansas State doesn't have one win close to those five I just gave you. But somehow, because you won the Big 12 during the regular season, and by the way, you didn't win it outright. If you won it outright, that would have carried maybe more weight.
Yeah.
You didn't win it outright. If you're this is always what happens in debate, and you make arguments. You make it convenient for your point of view. So it's convenient for K-State fans to say, well, we should have been Kansas City instead of Kansas because we were two games better in the Big 12. Okay, fine. Well, it's also, here's the counter argument, and it's a pretty strong one, because the national committee doesn't just look at head-to-head, because if they looked at just head-to-head, then Virginia Tech will be seated just as high as Duke, because they split.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, come on. Carolina should be the number one overall seed. They beat Duke 2 out of 3 times. Well, Zion was hurt. Well, Udoka Azubuike's been out for a big portion of the year. Well, Dean Wade missed games. True. Everybody has injuries. Just push it all aside. Who beat who on a floor and where? Kansas's non-con is tremendously better than K-State's. And if any K-State fan possibly says, well, the non-con, K-State's non-con was actually pretty good, or K-State's non-con was comparable to Kansas, they don't know what they're talking about. And Dusty will back me up on this, and he's a K-State fan. All you got to do is look at the schedule. Look at who beat who. It isn't that the committee does not seed teams strictly on what you did in the conference. It is a factor. It is a variable. Does it carry weight? It does. But there are people saying, well, it carries a lot of weight how you do in the NCAA, or in the conference tournaments to help your seeding. Tell Michigan State that. Didn't help their seeding. They won the Big Ten tournament. Didn't help their seeding. Did Iowa State get their seeding help to get? They got to a 6. They won the Big 12 tournament. They're a 6 seed. So now you probably got Iowa State fans going, well, this is just a bunch of crud. We won the Big 12 tournament. We waxed Kansas. We beat K-State. How are we a 6 seed? Oh, I don't know, because you went 9-9 in the Big 12 and you lost to West Virginia by 20 points? All the games count. You can't just pull, well, we beat Kansas at home. Great. You lost at Kansas on the road. It's just amazing to me how people can be so narrow-minded when it comes to their favorite team and not be objective. I shouldn't be amazed. That's how it is. That's why we're called fans, right? I'm guilty of it, too, at times. But for crying out loud, you got to be objective here. Kansas, if Kansas was a 3 seed and was in Texas Tech's spot, K-State fans would be screaming bloody murder that KU's got a higher seed than Kansas State. And I would argue that would have been a better situation and more fair had K-State gone to Tulsa in the first 2 rounds as a 3 seed and not been in Kansas City in the Sweet 16. But there would have been Big 12 fans, K-State fans just going crazy, going, how the heck can Kansas be a 3 seed and we're a 4 seed when we won the Big 12? And they'd have an argument. You would. You'd have an argument. But which would you rather have, K-State fans? KU is a 3, a higher seed, but they don't get to play in Kansas City a Sweet 16? Or would you rather Kansas be a 4 seed and have to play Auburn in the second round with the chance to go to Kansas City? And if your whole argument and why you're mad is because you think you should have been in Kansas City instead of Kansas, guess what? I don't think either one of you should have been. Because you're both 4 seeds, and 4 seeds shouldn't have that big of a home court advantage necessarily in a backyard, and it's still in K-State's backyard too, by the way. It's not a long way from Manhattan to Kansas City.
Mm-hmm.
So don't give me this. I mean, for crying out loud, you're both a 4 seed. You could have gone anywhere in the bracket. It's about the matchups. Don't get caught up in where the game is played. It's about the matchups. And for people to cry and whine about, well, we should have been in Kansas City instead of Kansas. Listen, I can tell you a lot of people, if you can be objective and you take the whole body of work into consideration, if it came down to Kansas or Kansas State going to Kansas City, the committee got it right. You disagree?
No, not at all. I'm looking at, and I can't even add them right now anymore because there's at least 7.
By the way, if you want more respect in regards to your non-con, schedule tougher.
That's what I'm. And look, there's on this bracket right here, outside of Big 12 teams, there's 2 teams that K-State played that are on it.
2.
And they went 1-1.
How many teams KU played?
They beat Georgia State and they lost to Marquette. I was trying to keep track as you were going, but let me look. Okay, so on this bracket now, from the start of the season, you started right away with 1, Michigan State. Mm-hmm. Vermont's 2. Mm-hmm. Marquette's 3. Tennessee's 4. Wofford's 5. New Mexico State is 6. Villanova's 7. Arizona State is 8. And Kentucky's 9. There is 9 teams that they've played, and I think they lost 2 of them.
Yep.
They went 7-2 against 9 teams that are on this bracket. You wonder why KU's got a better situation if they make it to the Sweet 16. It's not hard to figure out.
No, it's not.
There's 2 teams on this bracket outside of Big 12 teams that K-State played. And they went 1-1.
And KU
lost to Marquette.
And KU played 7 more.
KU played 9 and went 7-2. And you know, that's when they were good.
Sure.
You know, the Kentucky game was when they had started to lose some of those guys.
Right.
And they only lost that one by 8 in Lexington. So, I mean, it's not hard to figure out. There's not a – when you look on and watch these shows about bracketology, there's not anywhere on there at the end of the season that it says – there's an asterisk by K-State's name says regular season Big 12 co-champs.
Right.
There's not. There's a resume that says top. Now it used to be top 50, top 100, whatever. Now it's quadrant 1, quadrant 2, quadrant 3, quadrant 4, whatever. Wins, losses, bad losses are in quadrant 4, quadrant 3, whatever, you know. And it's got all that. And it has their number. It used to have their RPI number. Now it's got their net. And there's everything's on there. There's nothing about whether you want a conference championship or not.
No.
Now the other side of that drives me nuts is you're talking about that every game matters and it's a body of work. Well, if you're Fairleigh Dickinson, that's not true. Mm-hmm. If you're Wofford, this year it's true because they had a good resume, but normally it's not true.
If you're Georgia State, it's not true.
If you're Georgia State, it's not true. You know, you can go through Old Dominion, not mm-hmm. true.
Right.
They had to win their conference tournament to get
Irvine.
In. UC Irvine. You know, not true right now. You know, they're 30-5. They might have had a chance to get an at-large bid, or I don't, probably not,
probably
based
not.
On the conference they played in. And that's the thing. I started looking at K-State's, and I'm like, you know, this was supposed to be a better non-con schedule than it usually is, but it really wasn't.
It really wasn't.
And then they didn't take advantage of the opportunities that they had, and they lost to teams they shouldn't have in Tulsa and Texas A&M.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm scrolling through KU's schedule there. I'm like, tournament team, tournament team, tournament mm-hmm. team, tournament team.
And Bill Self does, that on purpose because he knows that'll help their seed even if they have a few more losses. He knows that'll help them.
Like, and I don't know how they have the foresight to schedule a Wofford when they're going to be that good. And, you know,
they've been good the last few years.
But, you know, I don't think anybody expects them to be as good as they are this year. Like, as 20 and now 30-4 after yesterday. But, you know, that's
then I hear,
if
then
you
then
kind of read it and understand who you got and what you're doing, then you probably do know.
Then I hear the argument, well, but you see, Udoka that win against Michigan State and Tennessee, that was with Udoka. Well, it doesn't really matter, but let's play the game. Okay, so fine. Udoka didn't play against Villanova. Udoka didn't play against Wofford. Kansas won those games. There's two games right there without Udoka, and K-State's only played two total, you said, and they're 1-1.
Yeah.
So even right there, Kansas is better when it comes to those comparisons.
And Georgia State barely counts because, they made the tournament. But
I will say that if you go out and win the conference regular season title, let's say K-State went out there and beat everybody by two games. They were the outright champions. They went 14-4 in the Big 12. That would have helped them.
Oh yeah,
even with their non-con, that
because
would help
that helps
their argument.
You know,
a little
all
bit.
That helps your net too.
Right.
You know, when you win those games, that's what helps.
Right.
But you can't lose by 20 to Texas at home either, even if Dean Wade and Kamau Stokes are hurt.
Some people could really, honestly, you could argue, looking at the body of work, and K-State's body of work is really good in the Big 12, especially their road games, and we know that.
Mm-hmm.
But you could probably, technically, if you really want to pull this and dissect it, you could probably make arguments with other teams that are 4 and 5s that are more deserving of being a 4 than K-State. And that K-State's overseeded, if you looked at the entire body of work. I think they're right where they should be.
I do, too. I don't think
I think Kansas is a 4. I think K-State's a 4. I do. Even though K-State's 2 games better in the Big 12, KU's body of work closes that gap. And I still think they're pretty even when they play each other. They played 10 times. I still think it'd be 5-5, 6-4, one way or the other. They're both 4 seeds. The angst is that KU gets to go to Kansas City and... Is it because of their name? Yeah, maybe there's something to that. I'm not going to deny there might be something to that. But because I think it's not necessarily more about the name. It's about Roy versus Bill, Carolina versus Kansas. Okay, there's a little bit to the name because that's an intriguing matchup. Okay, and the committee does look at this. They say they don't, but you can't tell me they don't. And Brian Haney talked about that yesterday. So that looks appealing. Ooh, Carolina versus Kansas? We don't care where it's at. That'd be great. Can we do that? Sure. It's a Kansas City. Ah, Carolina's much better. Why not? You don't say, well, Kansas State, North Carolina, that moves the needle. It doesn't. Unfortunately, it doesn't. Now, maybe someday it will.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the respect thing that Bruce Weber's trying to get to. And listen, if Bruce Weber keeps winning shares of Big 12 titles and getting 2, 3, 4 seeds in the NCAA tournament, trust me, all that respect will come. It will. It will come. It takes some time to get it. And I think K-State's been getting some of it. But yet there always seems to be this, well, we got the shaft. And I think some people kind of get tired of the whining about that. Agreed?
100%.
All right. So K-State, UC Irvine today at 1 o'clock. Here's Max Hazard, one of the players for Cal Irvine, says, hey, K-State's like us.
We're both defensive teams for the most part. It has potential to be a low-scoring defensive game. But we don't want to get too caught up in, you know, what they do. We just want to play our game and do what we've been doing because it's been working for us. And I know it's a higher stage and a bigger stage, but we do what we do. You know, I like our chances.
A lot of people like UC Irvine as the upset pick. Riley Gates go Power Cat early this week. He doesn't think much of UC Irvine, which the way Riley's been predicting stuff this year is kind of like me.
He's scared.
Go be very, very scared. If Riley feels super confident that K-State's going to roll UC Irvine, I'd be very, very scared today. Just like my picks yesterday.
I think UC Irvine is a good team, and I think they're fine, but I also think people looked at them and they went, oh, they're 30-5, and they've won 16 straight games. Of course they're going to be the team to beat K-State. And if you just look, I mean, just look at the schedule and look at the Big West Conference, UC Irvine didn't play anybody. I mean, they have not tested themselves at all, and this is a team that I don't think K-State's really going to struggle with. I think they're going to get by UC Irvine pretty easily.
If I heard this correctly, though, UC Irvine won at Texas A&M. K-State didn't. I'm not saying that should be a big difference today, but I'm just throwing it out there. I mean, I don't think Texas A&M is supposedly a big test, but K-State didn't pass it. But obviously, I'm joking. I mean, the whole body of work, K-State's the better team. I would be surprised. I wouldn't be shocked, but I would be surprised if K-State lays an egg and loses today. Brian Smoller is with us earlier this week. Mr. Wildcat, he does everything there at Kansas State University. He's voice of the women's basketball team, covers the men as well. And he believes, kind of like I do, and I think Dusty, that K-State's going to be all right.
It's all matchups. It's all that day. You know, you could have a team like K-State that has been ready to play in this tournament since last year. They have been chomping at the bit to get to this point and do it again and make another run. So does that mean they rise up and play their best basketball? That's what I'm hoping for. That's what we're all hoping for. We'll see. I have a feeling this team will come out ready to go. They realize it's the you know, you give everything you've got. They were so close last year. They're not going to overlook UC Irvine. I think the fact that everybody's picking UC Irvine over them fuels this team a little bit, and I think they should be ready to go.
The more and more I look at this K-State bracket, the more I like it. The more I like it for K-State. Listen, there is no offensive juggernaut in this whole pod or in the top half of the bracket. They're all similar teams. They play a lot of great defense. There's not a great shooting team in this whole thing. There isn't. There isn't an Auburn that can shoot lights out and get hot. Now, the bottom half there is. There's Villanova and Tennessee. They can shoot the ball really well. But Wisconsin's kind of a plodding, slow-it-down team. Oklahoma, you know, K-State, all no problem with them. Virginia is more of a slow-down, more defensive-minded team, although they're better offensively this year. You know, honestly, you probably should be more worried about Oregon than Wisconsin because Oregon has that faster play, and we saw K-State struggle against Iowa State a few times because they can stretch the floor and shoot it. K-State's got the third-best defense in the country. All right, and their defense can it travels wherever they go, and it's with them as they play in San Jose today at 1 o'clock. I think K-State wins today. I don't think they're going to win by 20 or 30 or anything like Kansas did yesterday, but I said that about Kansas, so I could be wrong. But the way K-State plays, it doesn't usually behoove them to win by 20, 25, 30 points, because if they're going to win by that many, that means they got to score 70 or 80, and they just don't usually do that. And with no Dean Wade, I would think that's probably less likely. I think K-State's going to win this game, and 67-58. It's a game that is exactly where K-State wants to be scoring-wise. And UC Irvine, everybody gets caught up in. They're big, and they can really rebound. And that will be a problem for K-State, no question. But UC Irvine, as Riley pointed out, and he's right, they haven't played that tough of a schedule at all. They haven't faced a defense this good. And they're not a team that shoots the three super well, although maybe today they will. They're not a team that pushes it in transition. They don't spread you out, per se. I think this matchup's fine for K-State. I think they'll be fine. I think they win. And I think as long as Oregon doesn't win, really, or some crazy upset at the top, if you got Virginia or Wisconsin, and that's your next two games after winning today, those are games that K-State can easily win if they hit a few shots. Now, if they don't, they can easily lose to anybody. But they're not going to get blown out against anybody. They're always going to be in the game, and that's what makes a team like them dangerous, because that's exactly what they did last year to make the Elite Eight. They're in every game. Their defense traveled. I mean, all you got to do is watch a Kentucky game. That was not a good offensive performance by either team.
No.
But K-State won because of defense, and they're even better this year defensively. They've got experienced guards. They played defense. They've played without Dean Wade many times over the last couple years. I think K-State's fine, and I think they check off a lot of boxes the national media is overlooking. So you want to call that disrespect, Bruce? Okay, fine. But I'm giving you respect here.
Yeah. The best win for UC Irvine, they did win at St. Mary's. I didn't know that. I just looked at their schedule. But
St. Mary's was really struggling early in the year, though.
Yeah, exactly. And it was a non-con earlier.
Yeah.
I think K-State's fine. 63-56 type score is what they need to win.
Yeah.
You know, that could be 63-46 if they want it to be.
Right.
But what I'm saying is, if you're going to get a tight game, you want that to be in the 60s.
Yep.
For them to be able to win, and I think they will do that. I think they're fine.
They play at 1 o'clock today. They'll be fine. We all agree they'll be fine. Which means they're going to lose. So you're in trouble, K-State, because we think you'll be fine. K-State women play at the exact same time today. Unfortunately, they play against Michigan. They're the 9. Michigan's the 8. If they win, they play Louisville, number 1 seed in Louisville. The game today is in Louisville. K-State.
You're saying Louisville? You're just going to advance them over the 16 right away?
I am. I am going to do that, Dusty. That's how confident I am.